Welcome to Sports Beat KC, the Kansas City Star Sports Podcast. I'm Blair Kirkhoff. We're about 2 weeks into the baseball season, and the Royals are not only not out of contention, they're playing very well. The starting pitching has been epic. The stars, like Salvador Perez and Bobby Witt Jr., have been, well, stars. It's been especially fun to watch MJ Melendez and Michael Garcia get off to hot starts. On today's show, beat writer Jalen Thompson evaluates the team's performance as it heads into a three-game series against the Houston Astros. The Royals are coming off a four-game home sweep of the Chicago White Sox. There are some issues, like the bullpen. We talk about those, too. Okay, let's get started. Jalen, the birds are singing, the flowers are blooming. It's a beautiful spring day, and the Royals are two games over 500 going into three-game series tonight. We're recording this on Tuesday before the Royals series opener against the Houston Astros, but the mood is good for Royals baseball, and that's different than you've experienced as a Royals beat guy. You came to town, was it in May or June of last year?
May of last year, yeah.
And they were already, you know, well on their way to having a miserable season. And, of course, it ended up with 106 losses. But this is different. It feels different. Just tell me about the experience of covering a team that it's just more upbeat right now.
It is. Last year, they had a shovel already in their hands, and they were digging their own grave, so to speak. But now they have a weed whacker, and that weed whacker is the starting rotation. They've been mowing down teams in early in games, and if it wasn't for the bullpen, they might be a little bit higher up in the standings than where they already are. But two games over 500, that means a lot to a lot of people. I mean, just looking at social media and fans, they're just happy and excited to see the Royals are a team that is actually winning games again. I think that's always was the big question mark coming into this season. Last year, they ended it well, and people was like, well, we've seen that before. They always can end the season well. They did well in spring training. Well, we've seen that before. They've always performed well in spring training. But can they do it in April? 10 games in, you're 6-4. You're sitting in second place in the American League Central. You're only two games back of the Cleveland Guardians, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's just crazy how things have changed for this franchise. And 727 days, that's what they've said since the last time they were over 500. Let's see if they can keep that going a little bit longer. They got a great test today against the Houston Astros. Christian Javier is going to be pitching for them. They're going to see a lot of strong offense, a team that has won a World Series before, a team that knows how to get the job done. This is a good barometer for them. And they have Cole Reagans on the mound, so anything can happen. They're lined up. Can they make more magic happen at the K? Fans need to tune in and see if that can happen.
Yep, you're right. The Astros, a 4-7 coming in, but you're right. The Astros have won the last six, I believe this is right, the last six division titles for a full season. In the COVID year, I think Oakland ended up winning that West. But the Astros have been the class of baseball. Two World Series, four American League pennants. Just a little mini dynasty with the Houston Astros coming in here. It'll be a great test for the Royals. You touched on the rotation and you touched on the bullpen, and we're going to get into both here in just a minute. But I hadn't seen you since either opening day or the second day, and I can remember thinking on opening day, the big question about the Royals was, will all the changes work? They made so many changes, right? There were, was it seven players on this year's opening day roster that were on the previous year's opening day roster?
Yeah.
That's an incredible overhaul. And it did start with the pitching, right? The rotation was just, you know, Brady Singer was back, and that was basically it. You know, Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo. There are, you know, it just pitcher after pitcher. Cole Reagans, of course. And the early returns have been nothing but spectacular. A 1.60 ERA for this rotation. I heard this the other day that of the Major League Baseball playoff teams in each of the last 2 years, so there was what, 14 playoff teams each year. So 20, am I right? Or was it 24, six play, whatever it is. Yeah. The all but two of them had an ERA among their starting rotation under three. Everybody else was between three and or over three, and the average was like 3.8. The Royals' starting rotation now is 1.60. Listen, you can't expect them to continue this trend the whole year, but the early returns are so positive. What are your general impressions about this? And then I've got a specific question to ask you about the rotation.
I like it, and I think that you're right. You can't really see it continuing at this high of a level because baseball is a sport in a game of failure. That's going to be unsustainable. But if you look at the track record of the guys they brought in, Michael Wacha and Seth Lugo, quality starts, guys that know how to pitch and they know how to get out of jams. They can work themselves out of it. They can get back to their level of having a 3 ERA this whole entire season. That's what you want.
Be amazing.
It'd be amazing.
Yeah.
And that's what they signed those guys for because they knew that that's within them. And you've seen it. Like, Seth Lugo, he doesn't have the greatest velocity in the world, but he knows how to get out of an inning, get out of jams. He knows how to pitch. And that's, I think, that's the key thing. Michael Wacha, same thing, knows how to pitch. Like, you get those consistent, steady 6 innings, 2 or 3 earned runs giving up every single time they go out.
Quality starts.
The offense can hit enough that you can propel yourself for it. And I think Cole Reagans is the real deal. We all saw that last year. I think he just further proved it. But I think the key to this rotation, and you're seeing it so far, is Brady Singer.
He's a different guy.
He's a different guy this year. He's the guy that fans thought they were going to get after, I believe it was 2022, when he went on that tear. He has 4 pitches now, sometimes 5, that he's working on. 16 strikeouts and two starts so far. I mean, that's incredible. Like, if Brady Singer can be what he's doing right now as the number 3, look out. The Royals might have something.
That 4-seam fastball seems to be working pretty well for him now. That's the pitch, isn't it, that he didn't have coming into this year. And it's been amazing for him, which is great to see. All right, so this is what I wanted to ask you specifically. So when I watch the Royals play, after the starter comes out of the game, he comes into the dugout, and the other starters in the rotation gather around, and they talk.
Yeah.
And it's a really cool scene. What's going on there with the rotation when a starter comes out, his day's done, and everybody's gathering around in a little meeting?
I'm glad you brought that up because I talked to Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha. They were teammates with the San Diego Padres last year. They said they talked between starts after they came out of the game and things like that. So they already had that bond of just talking and what they're seeing and what they're working with. In spring training, the pitchers will watch each other's throw bullpen sessions, live BPs, and whatever. And it's just that camaraderie that they have together. You go in the clubhouse, you have Will Smith. He's talking to Cole Reagans and Chris Stratton. They were, of course, on the team with the Texas Rangers last year. But these guys, they really care. It's all about how can I get better? How can I be better? We talked to Brady Singer. He said that he watched Michael Wacha pitch, and he was like, this worked against the Orioles. Let me see if I can do the same thing and when my starts, you know. Same with Alec Marsh, I believe he also said that as well. So they piggyback off of each other, and I think that's why you're seeing them all come together collectively, because that information, it can work. And I think that's why the starting rotation has been as strong as it has been so far.
I think that's a really useful thing, that there's a competition among them, of course, but there's also communication among them, and they're pulling for each other.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a starter goes out and maybe, you know, puts up zeros for six and two-thirds or whatever it is, comes out of the game, and he gets congratulated, and next guy up wants to go out and beat him the next day, right?
Exactly.
So I also think, going back to Brady Singer for a moment, it's not just the fastball, the 4-seam fastball, but also the fact that now he has veterans that he can talk to on this. You know, we talked about Lugo and Wacha, and all of a sudden Brady Singer's got people he can learn from. I think that's no small thing.
No, you're exactly right. Just being able to learn from those guys, that veteran instinct. I mean, for like you said, Brady Singer, he had a lot put on his plate the last couple of years. He was looked at to be the guy. And, you know, sometimes when you have to have that platform and that mantle, it's hard to carry when you're still trying to figure out who you are as a pitcher. But this year, he doesn't have to have that pressure on him. I mean, Cole Reagans is a phenomenon. He's a beast in itself. Like, what he's done is just dominant, and people see that in him. But now you have a guy like Brady Singer who's like, well, I don't have to be right behind Cole Reagans. I can be just Brady Singer. And being Brady Singer means learning how to use my off-speed pitches, my sinker, my slider, adding in a sweeper, adding in a four-seam fastball, and then looking at guys like a Seth Lugo that also throws that pitch that, hey, I see you have it darting in this way horizontally or vertically. How can I, you know, add that to my game? It's all about learning. And they're becoming complete pitchers, and I think that's the key. Brady Singer now has someone that can help him be a complete pitcher. And I don't want to put it all on Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha. I got to give a lot of credit to Brian Sweeney, the Royals pitching coach, because he came to Brady Singer and he said, why don't you try throwing a sweeper? He came to Alec Marsh and saying, why don't you try throwing a sweeper? That pitch has helped both of those guys. That four-seam fastball has helped Brady Singer. I mean, this Royals pitching and development staff has really taken these young players and they helped craft them into being a better MLB player. They're helping them pretty much learn how to use their pitches more effectively, and that's why they have the rain in the zone. That's why they have competition like in spring training about who can throw the most fastballs first pitch or like get first pitch strikes, you know, things of that nature. It's all about the competition, but it's all about making sure that the guys are more comfortable being who they can be. And I think they're reaching that potential, and who would have thought it only took a couple of veterans to get it done?
Yeah, it's been fun to see. Look, small sample size, right? We got to keep reminding ourselves. Yeah. Just 10 games into the season, but there's some good stuff happening with the starting rotation. The Royals, by the way, leads the American League in fewest home runs allowed. Mm-hmm. They go into tonight's series having given up just 4 home runs on the season. That's amazing. All right, now we do have to talk about the bullpen. Yeah. Royals 6-4 record would be better if the bullpen and especially Will Smith had not given up a couple mm-hmm. of games. But we've seen manager Matt Quatrero make a move. He is maybe we wouldn't have seen this a year ago in Q's first year with the Royals, but I think it's an indication that he thinks and the Royals think that they got a pretty good team here. They're not letting Will Smith go out, you know, and I don't want to blow leads, but. Yeah. But anyway, a move was made. MacArthur came in and ended up getting saved in one of the White Sox games. So, first of all, what do you think the prospects are for the closing position going forward here?
Ooh, see, this closing position, we all thought Will Smith was going to get the first opportunity to close,
and he did.
So they kept their word on that. But now you're seeing James MacArthur is pretty good in that role. When we go back to last season, I mean, he was dominant down the stretch. Didn't give up a run in his last, I believe, 16 1/3 innings down the stretch as the closer, the guy in late inning situations. I mean, against the Astros last year, he came in and he struck out the side, struck out Yordan Alvarez, struck out the Yankees at the end of the season at home at Kauffman Stadium. They call him the general for a reason. And he just has that command, and I think that he could be someone that really stands out and could take that role if he continues to perform well in it. We also saw Chris Stratton can close games. He got a save against the White Sox the last series. So I think, and I'm going to make sure I ask this question too, is it going to evolve into a committee type thing where they play the best matchups? Because that might be what you might have to do when you don't have a really true closer on the staff. There's going to be some nights where James MacArthur's stuff may not play well against a certain type of team, and you might have to go to Will Smith, or you might have to go to Chris Stratton. Or when Carlos Hernandez gets back, does he step into that role with using his fastball? Jake Brintz, when he comes back, or John McMillan, do they add in those pieces? So I think the closing role just might be by committee until they get that guy. But here's the best thing about it. When you're in contention and you get to June and you get to July, that trade deadline comes around, you can go get a reliever. You can go get a closer. That's what you get, those moves are made for. And if that's what you need and you're in it, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Royals go out and try to get that.
Make a move. They've been on the other side of that, mm-hmm. moving relief pitchers at the trade deadline the last couple of years. But, John Schreiber's pitched pretty well.
John Schreiber,
in his outing. So it's funny. This team's record, as excited as we are about the way that we've seen the Royals play, they could be a game or two. They could be 8-2.
They could be
Instead of 6-4. But anyway, we go forward with an outstanding starting rotation, a bullpen that is a little bit questionable and still trying to figure it out. And then we're going to switch to the other side and talk about the offense. There are several players that are off to just fantastic starts, mm-hmm. right? Bobby Witt Jr., MJ Melendez, Salvi Perez, Michael Garcia. Which one of those guys has impressed you the most or maybe has been a little unexpected with their play?
I wouldn't say unexpected, but Michael Garcia to me, because he's showing you something that they said he didn't have or couldn't do, which was the power. Like, could he hit 10 to 15 home runs? Could he show that being at third base, you know, which is traditionally a power hitting position? Right. And a lot of people had questions. So what's his future? Is he going to be at third base? Because if you don't have a power hitting guy at third base, then is your lineup really balanced? And I think what the Royals are saying is, Michael, just go be a ball player. Go out there and just showcase your talents. And I think he's really done that. And I talked to him, and he said one thing that really stood out to me in Baltimore. He said that I was hitting the ball out front. That's what I'm focusing on. So still continue to hit line drives, but also getting the ball out front. And now you're seeing some balls go over the fence. So he's leading the team, tied for the lead in home runs for this Royals team. And I think there's more power that can be unlocked in his game. And I think he's really just being designed to get to that point. And also, I'll mention NJ Melendez, since you mentioned him. We all knew what he could do. But everybody focused on his defense. But nobody really kind of talked about what his offense he made adjustment-wise this year to really get going. And you've seen that he's hitting the ball to all fields. Yep. He's hitting for average. He's showing that he can be that guy that hit 40 home runs in between his minor league stint a couple years ago. So if he gets going with Michael Garcia, now your offense is looking really good. And what people is not talking about either is Bobby Witt Jr. only has 2 home runs and 2 RBIs and 2 stolen bases. He's in for average. He's got the extra base hits, but he's not the central point of all the offense this year. It's 4 or 5 guys that are contributing. And I think that just makes the Royals better in the long run.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. Let's go back to MJ for a second. There are a couple things when I think about him that I think have impacted his season. One, he came into this year knowing he's going to be an outfielder,
exactly.
Right? And he seemed to work on it, and he's played really solid defense. Mm-hmm. Good angles to the ball, good arm. He's always had a good arm. But I think he's played really solid defense, and maybe that's took a little off of his shoulders, knowing he's not going to be – is he going to be a catcher? Is he going to be an outfielder? Is he going to go back and forth? No, he's an outfielder. Mm-hmm. He's a corner outfielder. And it seemed to have settled him down a little bit. But I started to see this after the All-Star break last year with him. He started – he was at like a 280 hitter after the All-Star break a year ago and started to show. So he seemed to carry that into this season. I'm love seeing him. The ball is just – popping off his bat. It's great to see. And you're right center, left center, dead center, he goes to all fields and he goes there with power. And he is his 3 home runs are tied with Garcia for the team lead. Bobby Witt Jr., his average exit velo is over 100 miles per hour, so he's barreling the ball really well too, like MJ. But I'd like to see him a little bit more productive with runners on base.
Yeah.
You mentioned the 2 home runs, and those are the 2 RBIs that he has. I know he came up in a bases-loaded one-out situation early in the White Sox series and couldn't get it done. So that's the one thing you'd like to see with Bobby Witt. It's just a little more production with men on base.
But you can't worry about Bobby, because last year he got to a slow start, and then he just lit the world on fire in the second half. So it's just a matter of him just – being able to see it click. And once it clicks, I mean, you already know what he can do. So
yeah, and you're right about the two stolen bases too. You know that he's 30-30. It's
30-30 guy, yeah.
Yep. Salvi, it's great to see Salvi get off to such a good start. I always think of Salvi as more of a warmer weather player. Mm-hmm. He's got to get the temperature up a little bit. And But he's proven that not necessarily the case, and he's just on a kind of a hot streak and an RBI streak. You know, I talk about Bobby Witt not driving in runs. Well, Salvi's been picking him up. So Salvi off to a good start. Let's talk about a couple of guys that not so good starts. Vinny Pasquantino's kind of a mystery right now.
Yeah.
Coming off the shoulder, you know, missing all that time last year with the shoulder surgery. And what are we to make of his start? And is he still being affected by
I don't know. I think he might still be trying to just get his legs underneath him. You remember, you missed that much time coming off an injury, shoulder injury,
yep.
And then you're just trying to put the pieces together. And I can tell you right now, knowing the competitor that Vinny is, it's probably eating at him that he's not putting up the numbers that he knows he can put up. But like I said, it's only 10 games. It's early in the season, so you can't necessarily write him off just yet. But I feel like if he just continues to just put those at-bats together, and they might need 40, 50, 60, 100 at-bats to really get back settled again. Because when you're spending that much time away, the game is going to catch up to you as you continue to get your feet back under you. But I think he'll turn on, I believe, and because that's the type of player that he is. He just has to just get back into form. The good thing, though, is the Royals have time to allow him to do that because they have other pieces, as we mentioned, that are hitting well right now so that he can settle back into that role, that where he needs to be at.
How about Hunter Renfro? It was good to see him get his first Royals home run on Sunday. That really was a spark to help stage the comeback in that 5-3 win. The Royals worried about him at all? They think he's just going to he'll get going.
They think that he's going to get going. I talked to him and I asked him that question, and he was like, "Yeah, I really felt good where my bats were at during the Baltimore series." He was saying how he had to play with shadows the first couple of games, and that kind of affected him. You know, it was a couple of day games in Kansas City, the first series of the year. But now you see him getting those at bats. He's getting settled in. I mean, he's going to be a guy that is probably going to strike out a whole bunch. He's probably not going to hit for a ton of average, but you know he's got the home runs in him, and that's the power element that I think you're going to start to see it come forward. Also, we didn't mention him, but Nelson Velasquez is another guy. I talked to him. Remember, he didn't hit a home run in spring training.
Right.
His first home run came in the last couple of games or so. But those type of power guys, they just have to see one or two go for the fence. And then it comes in waves, and it comes in waves. So I'm not too concerned about neither of those guys.
Velasquez has two of the 14 home runs hit by the Royals this year. That's second in the American League, just behind the Astros with 16 home runs. So
could be a home run series,
could
you say.
Could be, even in big outfield Kauffman Stadium. And Kyle Isbell, right?
Yes.
I mean, he's playing good center field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll get you a base hit.
Yeah.
You know, he's hitting .250. That's who Kyle Isbell is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You accept that he's not a .300 hitter because you know his defense in center field is solid.
Exactly. And also, one thing we got to point out, too, it was kind of went under the radar, but the Royals tweeted out, Michael Massey is going to be on a rehab assignment in AAA. That's where he's inching his way closer. And we've seen what Adam Frazier can do. He's a great player, great veteran
Just a
player.
Veteran, yeah, a good, solid guy.
Yeah. But if you get Michael Massey back in that lineup, where does that take off for the rest of the guys?
Yeah, yep. Okay, Jalen, I've got called up on my screen here the Baseball Reference playoff odds. It's 2 weeks into the season. It's 10 games into the season. But the Royals, according to the Baseball Reference playoff odds, have a 13% chance of reaching the playoffs this year. It's a small number, and it's fourth among teams in the AL Central. But it's much better than where the Royals were 2 weeks into the previous few seasons.
Yeah.
Also has the Royals finishing at 78-84, which would beat the preseason over-under for the Royals. Best-case scenario, 88 wins. Worst-case scenario, 68 wins. I like looking at stuff like
this. Yeah, yeah,
it's just fun. But there are just some good vibes around this team right now. It's funny how, and ironic a little bit, it comes within the time period that Jackson County voters, you know, voted down a continuation of a 3/8-cent sales tax for the Royals to build a new downtown stadium. But, you know, that will be that'll be part of the Royals' narrative this year. But they can certainly put that in the back of people's minds by continuing to play good baseball.
Exactly.
Which is what they're doing.
I think you got to look at it like this. In Kansas City, just the short time that I've been here, I've seen that if your team is competitive and they win, the fan base will flock to wherever you're at to see them play. The Chiefs are prime examples of this. Seeing them tailgate 12 hours before a game, sometimes the day before. But they're excited because they know the Chiefs present a winning team, a winning culture. And from what I've heard, that when the Royals win, like 2014, 2015, it's a different vibe.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And even in the few years after that, while they were still competitive. Look, I'm a firm believer that I'll never criticize fans for doing what they want to do. If they want to not come to a game, that's mm-hmm. you know, that's their right. If they want to show up, that's their right as well. But there's something. Kansas City fans are good sports fans. The Royals, I still see, even with a team coming off 106 loss season and having stacked a few of those bad seasons, people still in town wear their Royals gear.
They still do.
They wear their hats. It's on their T-shirts. People wear it with pride around here. That hasn't always been the case, but they ever since the 14 and 15 teams, people have they've supported the Royals, and it's neat to see again. Only a couple weeks into the season, it's great to see the Royals returning the favor to the fans.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll get some more fans out at the game. I think they had 14,000 mm-hmm. on Sunday, 14 or 15,000 for the last game of the White Sox. I think if the Royals continue this, you'll see some bigger crowds out there.
I think so. And I think, like you said, in this day and age, a lot of the fans are, you have to show me. Because for so long, we're talking about this is going to be the ninth year where – They haven't had a winning record.
Right.
They haven't made the playoffs. It was just like, can you show us that you're for real? And I think fans are really just sitting there waiting. So these 10 games, you can say it's a small sample size, but to the fans, it's important because now you're saying we didn't get off to a bad start where they didn't win their 10th game until May of last year.
Right.
They have 6 wins now. They continue to play well. And like I said, they played well against the Orioles, and they swept the White Sox. If they come out and they can beat the Astros, regardless of what their Astros record is right now, that's huge. And then you go on the road, and you have New York, and you have Chicago White Sox again. You could get off to a nice little cushion, and then where does the fan base come? Do they come back out? I think they do.
Oh, I think they'll respond to that.
I think they do.
I think you're right. I think if they go over 500 in this 10-game stretch, maybe 5-4,
yeah.
right? Then I think the bandwagon will start to fill up some more,
mm-hmm.
and the belief will become even more entrenched with these fans.
Yeah, and we got to remember, too, school is still in. So,
yep.
I mean, April – every MLB team goes through this. School is in. People have to make sure their kids are straight and everything. But once school is out, if the Royals are in contention, I would see the K start filling up because I just feel like it's been so long and fans are so starved to have a winning team.
It'll be a fun summer if that's the case. So, Jalen Thompson, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll do it again soon.
Yeah, thank you.
That'll do it for this episode. Thanks to producer Randy Mason for putting together the show. And to our SportsBeat KC staff of Monty Davis, Jeff Rosen, and Scott Chasen, tip of the cap to Jalen Thompson for sharing his insights. You know how I feel about the Morning Sports Edition, the best digital sports section in the country. Check it out at liveedition.kansascity.com. Thanks for listening. Let us know what you think of the show with a rating and a review. And we'll be back soon with another SportsBeat KC where we talk sports in and around Kansas City.